let me in.
Shiba shiba,
I wanna be closer to you.
Shiba shiba,
open up your soul.
Shiba shiba,
let me find that part of you, the part that nobody ever knew.
Let me touch your.
Touch your mind.
Hello and welcome to Let Me Touch Your Mind, the show where we try to get you to be something, do something, experience something, enjoy something. And there is so much to be enjoyed. There is a company that's been around for years and years and years, making it possible for you to enjoy your life just a little bit more. I'd like to welcome the artistic director of Circus Bella, Abigail Munn. Hello.
Hello. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. How are you today?
I'm okay. Just kind of doing all the things, getting ready for our shows this weekend.
Well, before we talk about the shows this weekend, let's first talk about Circus Bella. Like, what's the history of it?
So I grew up in San Francisco and grew up with the Pickle Family Circus when I was a kid. And then... I can't believe it, 17 years ago, my friend David Hunt and I decided to start Circus Bella, kind of with that, in that same tradition of free, outdoor, high quality, fun, joyous circus experiences in the parks.
Now, had you had prior circus experience outside of seeing the Pickle Family Circus, or was it just like this whim, like, let's just put it together a circus?
No, I'd been training. I started at the Pickle Family Circus school when I was in third grade.
Ah.
And then kept practicing and training, and then had both a career in kind of cabaret burlesque, and then also... had my own trapeze act, which I toured around to other circuses before I started my own circus.
Well, now let's go back. So you, in third grade, you're doing circus stuff, and then you just keep doing it and keep doing it. Now, is your family like, yay, she's staying out of trouble, or is your family like, I hope she grows out of this?
I think a little bit of both.
Okay.
A little bit of both. My family... I grew up in an arts family in San Francisco. My dad worked for the opera. And when I was young, my mom was the manager of a music company. So I wasn't going too far away. But, and I think now, my father's passed, but my mom is our biggest supporter ever. She's at all the shows and helping out. And my dad helped us get started, helping us with the sets and things like that when we got started. So my parents are extremely supportive now, but it was a journey.
I want to hear about that journey, because I can imagine, like, you hit like 17 or 18 years old and, you know, all of our parents freak out about the choices that we make because they just want you to be safe. And we on the other side of that, they're like, but I am safe and I'm having a great time. So how, like, at what point did you start to hear the rumble of maybe you should get it, learn to type?
Well, I think my parents, both being in the arts themselves, my mom had a music degree in college and my dad was a lighting designer, so they sort of got it.
Okay.
But I think, you know, you always want your kids to do better than you, and I think there was a moment where and my mom's probably listening to the radio right now. But I think, you know, you want your kids, and I think there is, it is true that a career in the arts is not, you're not doing this for the money or the financial stability.
Exactly.
So I think, you know, I always say, when people say, do you, oh, I want my kid to do the circus, I'm like, is there anything else you like to do? So you should do that. And then, on the other hand, it's the most wonderful, wonderful job, and we create the most wonderful shows, and I've had the most magical, exciting life. But do I still, at 46, do I still rent? Yes. At 46, do I have a beat-up car? I do. You know, you kind of, you for me, it's as long as, I mean, I can pay my rent and all those mm-hmm, things, and mm-hmm. that's important, but I've you know, you make choices.
There's nothing wrong with renting. There's nothing wrong with renting. So at what point, because you said you started in third grade, at what point mm-hmm. did you feel like you were really circus? You know what I mean? Like actors when they have that gig that they go, I'm officially an actor. When did you feel like you were officially a circus performer?
So it was maybe 2004 or 2005. I got a summer job working on this very traditional tent show with horses and dogs and sawdust and the whole thing. And uh-huh. I remember, and I flew to Chicago. And actually, my mom was like, if you really want to, I got in the phone call and I was like, I don't know, this is kind of scary. And mom's like, if you want to be in the circus, you better go get your trapeze and you go. And so I did, and I had no rehearsal. I just had to jump into this show.
Oh.
And I'm up there. I mean, like, I flew to Chicago, and the next day I was up on the trapeze in this tent, and I'm like, oh man, I made it. I did it.
Wow.
I officially ran off and joined the circus. And I learned so much that summer, and some of the cast members on that show are still my friends today. And actually being on that show is where we started to talk about the idea of creating Circus Bella. So,
wow.
Yeah. And I have a really clear moment, actually, even I still have the picture in my brain of, oh, this is it. I did it.
That's amazing. So was it while you were in the air, or was it?
I was actually, like, I was sitting up on the trapeze, and I can still picture, I was looking down at the bleachers, and there's a particular smell of tent on grass with mm-hmm. sawdust that I'll never forget.
And you mentioned that you didn't have any rehearsal. Is that normal for circus stuff, or was it just this particular circus?
This particular scenario, because I was going in very last minute to replace somebody.
The
show had already been going, and I just jumped in.
That's amazing. So you do this circus, you meet these amazing people, you start talking about, you know, you planting the seeds of your own circus. And mm-hmm. so at what point does it come together? When was your first show, and what do you recall about that first show?
So our first show at Circus Bella, so a couple years after, I went off and did some other projects, and we all kind of got busy. And then, but we still were sort of thinking about this idea and bringing this feeling of kind of traditional circus, but having our own spin on it and bringing it back to the Bay Area.
Mm-hmm.
And so I got this phone call from a winery, Bella Winery, and they called me. They had seen me, I'd rigged my trapeze in a tree for a friend's wedding, and I think somebody at the winery had seen that performance. And I don't know, there was some confusion, but they called me and they said, do you have a circus? And I said, yes.
Uh-huh.
And I didn't have a circus yet. And then I called David and I said, okay, we've got a gig. So our first gig ever was at a winery called Bella Winery.
Mm-hmm.
And we couldn't come up with a good, quote unquote, good name. So we decided to be Circus Bella for the weekend. And then, but we started, you know, it's interesting to kind of thinking back, because we really spent, you know, in my 20s, I had done lots of little weird projects and things like this. But for mm-hmm. this, somehow, we really, David and I really took some time to think about this company that we were started. More than I mean, I guess we were setting the intentions, and for longevity, we're still around today, but we really thought about, you know, what was going to be unique about our company. And we had these Thursday morning meetings at Boogaloo's in the Mission.
I love Boogaloo's. Go on.
I love Boogaloo's. I just love it. I mean, that's also, we every Thursday morning, we'd talk about what we wanted our circus company to be. And the things that were, we wanted a live band, mm-hmm. and then to perform in the round, and to have kind of a hybrid of people coming in with their circus acts, but also having some ensemble work. And all of that is still true today. So,
okay. So, so you're sitting over, I'm guessing since you guys were broke, you split a temple of spuds, and you're talking,
yeah, exactly.
And you're just talking about your pie in the sky and what you want. And
way too much coffee. Yeah.
Yeah. And so, does it come together that first time the way you envisioned it, or were there like weird mishaps that you're like, well, I learned from that?
Oh, everything. I mean, we're still having weird mishaps. That's part of, you know, you keep making every mistake as possible, and you just luckily are lucky not to make the same mistake twice.
Mm, okay.
But the first one, I think there was still the glimmer, and there was things that went wrong, and there's a picture of Dave and I after this first weekend, which was to me now seems so simple. And we almost did us in, and there's this picture out of me all, you know, getting all the costumes and the whole thing ready. And so we did that first weekend at the winery, but that was a private corporate event.
Okay.
And we were like, well, that was great. That gave us the budget to do this for the first time, but we've got to do it one more time for the public.
Mm-hmm.
So
to
on
get it right.
String, we invited ourselves on, I don't even know I can't remember what it was, but some other Earth event or something like that at Dolores Park. And we said, we're going to do a performance as part of your event. It's a circus. And people are like, I don't know what you mean. And we said, we'll show you. And so we did this event at Dolores Park. And then it was just a 30 minute show at Dolores Park with our band and our ring and all the things. And then somebody from Linda Lucero from the Yerbuena Gardens Festival saw us at that. Another mutual friend of mine, Rob Rogers, had said, hey, Linda, whatever Abby's doing, you should go check it out. It could be cool. and then Linda saw the show, and then the Yerbuena Gardens Festival commissioned us to do a full-length performance.
Wow. So you basically bogarted your way into someone else's gig and did a good enough job that someone saw you and went, do a whole thing. Someone just told me that success is, what is it, preparation plus timing. And so that seems like that was...
That's exactly, I think that it is. I mean, it's just the perseverance and just doing it. I mean, I had this thing I wanted to put out in the world, and this idea that I had this feeling and this kind of happening of circus that I wanted to do. So we just did it.
Okay.
And I still can't believe we're still going. Sometimes it's just a complete miracle.
Well, I want to know, so after they commission you, I think if it were me, I would panic because I was like, oh, they're giving us a lot of money to do this thing. I think I would panic. Did you panic, or were you just rubbing your hands like, this is amazing?
I don't think it was either one. I was like, okay, just get to work.
Ah.
I think that's always, it's like, okay, here's the next thing. Let's just do the next thing. Okay, we made it one more year. You know, we made it one more year. Let's do one more show. You know, I think that's always been kind of the way, don't look back. Just keep doing it.
And okay, so we're going to fast forward. Now, I could easily talk to you about all of the stuff that's leading up to this, but so you've been doing this for what, 16, 17 years
this
now?
This is our 16th season. The math is kind of weird because of COVID. We lost
Right. Okay, so this, you have a different theme each year, or is it like how do you pull a show together?
Yeah, so every year we have a different theme, and it's not, we don't exactly tell a story, but there's a feeling, there's kind of, and it's usually something I'm thinking about at the time.
Mm-hmm.
So kind of a feeling, an emotion, and just kind of, it becomes sort of a touchstone to, like when you kind of have to make choices, that's why, you know, why are we going to do this instead of this, and why are we going to do this?
Mm-hmm.
Well, let's see what our little theme is. So what our theme for this. So this year's show is called Hoopla. And I was really thinking this year about, so now in the summers we do our free circus in the parks, and in the winters we do a tent show.
Mm-hmm.
And we actually set up a tent in downtown San Francisco. And I was thinking about the difference, how different these two, even though it's the same company and a lot of the same musicians and a lot of things are sort of the same, it's a really different experience of going to see a show in a tent and going to see a show in a park. And I was trying to really dig into both. Actually, the winter show is going to be called Starlight. I'm very excited about it.
Mm-hmm.
Sign up for our mailing list so you can find out. But Yeah, the difference in the experience of the two things. And so our winter shows are very specific, and we have light cues, and we can mm-hmm. be a little more quiet and intimate because mm-hmm. we've got the full attention of the audience.
Sure, sure, sure.
And there is just, we can go higher, the technical aspect is higher.
Mm-hmm.
But the summer shows are this amazing, wild, fun community happening.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And so I was really digging into that. And so that's where the word hoopla comes from. It's kind of this wild, it's in the round. You never know what's going to happen. Life is a little unexpected. All of those things. And that's what we're really celebrating this summer.
And people are like, I find that when I go to some outdoor event, usually there's a picnic and a blanket and you're hanging out with friends and, you know, like you're in the mood already to enjoy yourself, and you're surrounded
yeah, exactly.
by people that you
exactly.
enjoy.
It's like, and there's a little more, even the audience, because they've got their snacks out.
Mm-hmm.
They're kind of talking amongst us. I mean, if there's just like, it's kind of a little bit more of a wilder experience,
mm-hmm,
which
mm-hmm.
is fun. I like it. You know, we're outside and a bus goes by and a church chimes and a bird flies through the rain, you know, all the things. So
a dog runs up on stage and it's super.
You never know what's going to happen outside.
Have you had a dog run up on stage?
We've not had a dog. We've had, you know, the one thing I actually always love is we get, our ring tarp in the summer is blue, so it looks a little, just a little tiny bit like water, and sometimes we get dragonflies circling around.
Okay. And
but your audience is not going to see that.
Okay.
that's my secret experience I'm showing to you that I think is always beautiful.
Now, one of the things that I've noticed at any large state outdoor stage event is that you get a gaggle of small children who are just enthralled by whatever is going on stage. And I'm guessing that that is true of the circus particularly.
Oh, yeah. We actually have had kids make a break for it in the ring.
Oh, really?
They just can't help themselves. We're like pushing them back. But yeah, we have an amazing group of kids just right in the front. Loving every minute.
What's the youngest kid that tried to, you know, join the circus with you in the middle of a show?
I think it's like the defiant 3 and 4 year olds.
Ah.
Their legs work well, and they flip by their parents when they're not looking and make a break for it.
I love it. Okay, so you're doing the hoopla show, and are all the people who perform in the show, are they people who are exclusively Circus Bella, or are they acts that you've pulled together?
So it's our usual kind of our local ensemble company.
Mm-hmm.
So we have kind of a group of people that work with us every year. They work in other circuses and other places too, but they're kind of our local company, and everyone is, you know, every year everyone's kind of, we rearrange the acts and people have new skills, and there's that. And then we're bringing in this summer,
mm-hmm.
we have a guest artist from Chicago, Willem McGowan. So he's coming in. He does Diablo, which is kind of a style of juggling. And I think it's important to bring in people from out of town, because it makes us all
mm-hmm.
level up, and
mm-hmm.
it's just
mm-hmm.
interesting to see what's going on in other parts of the country. And then we have Tristan Cunningham, who's as our clown this summer, and she's was a member of the company at the very beginning, and then she's gone off. She has quite an acting career on her own,
mm-hmm.
but came back to be our clown for this summer. As her character is called Dee Dee, the clown, and she's amazing. And then we have two kids in the show, actually. Jalina, who's her daughter, makes
uh-huh.
a cameo, who's one. Turned one on Saturday.
Okay.
Makes a cameo appearance. And then our production manager, Carlo, who's also been a performer with us for years, but he's mm-hmm. mostly the production manager, but he and his daughter, Giuseppina, do a little mini duet in the show. And so it's kind of fun to have kids.
I love
an acrobatic.
I love the fact that there's children that grow up with the circus as mm-hmm. sort of their normal routine. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, like, oh, yeah, everyone walks around in grease paint and swings around and, you know, flies
totally.
Through the air. So, like, do you get the kids who at the end want to join the circus, want to do what you do? And what do you tell them when you do, you know, if you do get them?
We always I have my list of circus. There's lots of circus classes in the Bay Area. So depending where, what part of the Bay Area we're in, I'll send them to the local circus school. And actually, also this year we do have an apprentice program. So we have an apprentice this summer, Mia, and she has been obsessed with Circus Bella since she was a little girl. And I said, when you're 16, you can come join Circus Bella for the summer. She was 15 and a half this winter. She's like, I'm turning 16 this summer. And I was like, you're in.
So she was like you, whereas like, a, you know, single-minded mm-hmm. in her desire to be a part of the circus. There's nothing going to deter her.
Yeah, exactly. She's amazing.
Wow.
So
I do find that single-mindedness very impressive, especially, you know, because kids will be obsessed with something for a few years, and then like just like that, they drop it. You know, they become teenagers, but you know, not you and not Mia. That's amazing.
No, I mean, I remember when I was driving, because I used to go to the Pickle Family Circus, and you know when you drive through the Rainbow Tunnel to go to Marin,
yeah,
you get to make a, if you hold your breath, you make a wish, and
right,
I
yes.
used to wish to become a trapeze artist.
So. So with the trapeze thing, like how do you do trapeze outdoors? When there's
I retired. Now I'm the ringmaster.
So okay, or
I
how does one
trapeze artist for many years, but during COVID, I just decided to hang up my tights
for
the next generation. But we have a whole rig outside, and we have aerialists. We have two spectacular aerialists in the show, Veronica Blair and Dora Galilea, and they're amazing. And
and the wind doesn't throw off everything?
You know, the wind, I mean, I'm just going to speak for myself, but the wind is... It's the jugglers and the people throwing things, but the wind is more of a problem.
Oh, people throw things at you guys?
Well, you know, we're like people act where you have to flip and toss things up into the air and catch them again.
Oh.
That's where the wind really is a problem.
Yeah. I find it very stressful to watch jugglers and people who balance, because I'm just like...
Yeah, exactly. But with trapeze and aerial arts, is not as bad because we're not balancing.
Okay.
I used to always actually sometimes like a really windy day because people would be, it would make things look a little scarier.
So. Well, I'm sure our listening audience, you know, they want you to repeat. So when, where, what right. time, how should you dress? What can you bring?
All the things. So we are actually going to be running weekends all the way through the end of July. So I'll mess up the dates if I rattle them off.
Okay.
But this weekend we'll be at Yerba Buena Gardens Festival, which is down off of Mission Street, Mission and 4th. And we'll be there from on Friday at 12 and Saturday at 12 and 2:15.
Okay.
We're going to have opening acts by Prescott Circus Theater and a couple other youth performers on both days, which is exciting.
Okay.
And then you can learn more about Circus Bella at www.circusbella.org. And we have all the dates and all the maps and all the directions all listed right there. And then bring a blanket or a low chair, pack a picnic, grab your best friend. Grab your best friend's kid, all the things, and come see the circus.
Excellent. And so that's this weekend at Yerba Buena Gardens. And you say you're mm-hmm. sort of all over the place. Can you name
Bay Area? So we'll be going to the South Bay. We'll be going down to Menlo Park in San Bruno. We'll be going to Reno. We'll be going to Oakland. We'll be going to Alameda this year. We have lots of chances to come see the show. No reservation, just show up.
Excellent. And it's free to anybody who wants to go, yeah?
It's free to anyone who wants to go.
Okay. And then for our listeners out there who, you said you have an apprentice program, and mm-hmm. so how do people apply to this program, and what's the timing on that?
It's very, because we only have one apprentice a year.
Oh, okay.
So it's very select. And usually we identify somebody who's in the circus community that needs that next push. But all people, send an email to info@circusbella.org if you want anything, and I promise I always write everybody back.
Excellent, excellent. Well, Abigail Munn, it's been a pleasure talking with you.
Always a pleasure.
I love the burlesque, the circus. If it sparkles, I'm like a kid. I would be the one, you know, or a dragonfly maybe, just enwrapped by what's going on this day. So thank you so much for being on the show today.
Thank you.
Okay, people of Earth, Circus Bella, it's there for you to enjoy. You know what else is there for you to enjoy? Cowboy Bebop and Yoko Kan on the seatbelts. This, my friends, amusement park. My friends, is Cowboy Bebop soundtrack. It's the amusement park. Yoko Kano on the seatbelts. You're listening to 89.5 FM KPOO San Francisco. Guess who's about to touch your mind right now? I got DJ Dang. Welcome.
Hello. Hey, Marilyn. How you doing?
I'm doing all right. How about yourself?
I am doing great. I'm just getting revved up for Pride, you know. We're a couple of weeks away.
I know. It's right around the corner. And so are you still doing the bongo bingo thing at the
I am doing bongo bingo. We're going to have our Pride edition on Saturday, June 28th. From 6 to 9 at Mission Cannabis Club.
So for a listening audience who's not necessarily familiar with that, give us the whole rundown.
Well, Bongo Bingo is basically drag cannabis bingo. There's a little drag show I co-host with The Pristine Condition. We've been doing shows together for about 15 years.
Mm-hmm.
We have a little special guest and then have a couple drag numbers. Then we play bingo. We have great setup for bingo at the Mission Cannabis Club up in their smoking lounge. And we play rounds of bingo and give away cannabis prizes. And then while you're doing that, you can also imbibe infused mocktails from Manzanita Naturals.
Mm-hmm.
Or there's another company called Uka, which has created its own new modern version of a hookah.
Uh-huh.
And you just plug these little pods in it, and you can smoke out of it. And they come and get us high all the time, too. So you're getting high while winning weed and playing bingo. And you're also part of the cannabis community, creating, with cannabis being legalized all these years, we still are still creating our cannabis culture.
Mm-hmm.
And going out and nightlife is important to create in that. So that's one of the things we're going for.
So whose idea was it to pair cannabis and bingo?
No, that'd be me.
Okay. And it's because to me, it's like, is it your Reese's peanut butter cup of events?
Well, I saw that there was a lot of drag bingo, and I came out of COVID, and I'd been doing shows in clubs for years. I've been a DJ and
mm-hmm.
Show promoter and producer, and I just kind of moved everything into the cannabis world, and so that's how I got. But then I started thinking about it, and I just realized, wait a minute, there's like no bingo nights, and there are bingo nights everywhere, and drag mm-hmm. bingo nights, but mm-hmm. there is not another drag bingo night but ours.
Ah, so you found you saw a vacuum and you filled it.
Very much so, very much so. And we've been going for about 3 years now. We had a great crowd last Saturday, so we always have a good time. It has really good spirit. And one of the things I loved about being part of the cannabis community, even pre-legalization, the 215 years, if you want to call them,
mm-hmm.
Was that sense of community. It reminded me of the gay community. That's why I started creating. I created the drag show Puff, which was the first combination of cannabis and queer culture in the cannabis history. And so, because I would go to these cannabis parties and I'd be like, wow, this is just like a drag party, but there's just no drag queens. So it's kind of like, that scene in Xanadu where like the two bands meet.
I'll take
you. You know, you have the rock band, and you have like the Andrews Sisters band, and they meet and create a new sound.
Uh-huh.
That's the kind of way I saw it, was the two bands coming together, or that commercial where the chocolate bar went into the peanut
yes,
butter,
that's the
and it
Reese's,
made like,
yeah.
a, oh my God, we got to meet Reese's peanut butter cup,
yeah.
that kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So what kind of response do you get from the community at large?
Everybody loves it. Everybody has a great time. This last weekend was one of those nights where people who had come with their friends, well, those friends showed up and brought friends. It's a really fun atmosphere. We really try to create, life is so tough these days, and it's awful to get through sometimes. So it's just nice to go and have 3 hours just to laugh, see some drag numbers, tip some dollars, smoke a little weed, and make friends and hang out with people and make it feel very comforting and homey,
Okay, okay. So tell us when and where for Bongo Bingo.
Bongo Bingo is at the Mission Cannabis Club, and we are the second and fourth Saturdays of the month from 6 to 9.
Where is the Mission Cannabis Club?
Mission Cannabis Club is located at 20th and Mission.
And then?
Right down the street from the Alamo.
Oh, okay. And then you also talked about how you used to do a thing called Puff.
Yeah.
What drag, was that?
Yeah, that was a drag show. It was a drag show that we created at the Stud in 2016. We had done a video thing for Under the Golden Gate with Maria Connor about cannabis. And the sneak preview party for the video thing went better than the video. So we ended up keeping the party, and we didn't really do any more of those videos. But that just turned into like 4 years at the Stud, creating drag shows with, and we gave away, we had the Stoner raffle, where we gave away prizes. And it was just the first bringing together of the two cultures of cannabis and the queer culture.
Okay. And do you think that you will have ever remount it?
Of course. I'm always looking for a place to do that stuff. I'm always looking for a venue. I'm always looking for somebody to team with. We were hoping to do a little bit more at Pride this year. Last year, I produced the stage for the first cannabis usage area in Pride. But this year, Pride decided to skip on that, and so we're not doing that this year. But hopefully we'll be back next year. But I'm always looking back to bring back another cannabis party.
Okay. All right. So for our listening audience, Saturday, June 28th, Bongo Bingo. And what else would you like our listeners to know?
Well, you know, if you do like, you know, if you're looking for something to do for Pride, I am DJing at Casements, which is just a block down from Mission Cannabis Club, about 19th and Mission. Mm-hmm. They have a really great back patio area with really good food and great drinks and a great atmosphere. And I'll be DJing there on Thursday, June 26th from 6 to 9 p.m.
Oh, okay. Very good. Very good. And if if there's one message you would want our audience to take away from this, what would it be?
Get out there and enjoy Pride and come out and support my event.
All right.
To be
well,
honest, sure, why not?
Come why out not?
And see my parties. I produce a lot of stuff. I've always enjoyed seeing people. But it's also getting out there. You know, nightlife is weird these days. I go out to clubs and, you know, there aren't as many people out as there used to be.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, I know a lot of people are struggling trying to figure out how to bring people in and create what we had pre-pandemic. So, you know, I'm really happy and proud that we've been doing Bongo Bingo for like 3 years or so. And, you know, and we're still getting good crowds. But, you know, other gigs I do and going out in the night and everything, it just doesn't seem to be quite as exciting as it used to be in San Francisco. And I'm very pro exciting San Francisco. So, yeah, get out and go out and support your performers, drag queens, actors, cannabis people, all that stuff. Just get out and be part of this wonderful city. I was out on Saturday with a protest march, and it felt so good just to be out and seeing all these people and saying hi, and I think we spend too much time inside.
Well, with that, DJ Dank, I want to thank you so much for being on the show today.
Marilyn, I always enjoy coming on your show, and thank you so much for having me.
You're welcome. Okay, people, Bongo Bingo, you know the drill. Go out and enjoy yourselves.